Blog Talk Radio.
From the world we see to the unseen world we sometimes see that makes us stand in awe of God's universe. This is Betsy Belega welcoming you from Cape Washington in the south to Nunavut in the Northern Lights in the Arctic Circle, from the White House gates to Lion's Gate, from Casablanca to everyone listening around God's globe. Hi, Gigi. This is Tuning In with Betsy. From marvelous Manhattan, I should say sizzling New York City, and terrific Toronto. And we are going to have a very busy week this week. I'm sure you know that we're under a heat wave. Now, they say Toronto is not. It's only about 90, so they don't consider that a heat wave. But I know the United States is in a heat wave, and England, and plus a 56-day drought. So, then, signs of the time, it says in the Bible, at the end times, people will just love themselves. Well, two examples of that is Tom Brady, me, and destroy my telephone, like the fellow that Donald Trump gave out his phone, and then the man destroyed it on YouTube and that. And the person, the doctor, I don't even want to say his name, because it's too disgusting to even mention his name, that killed dear, lovely Leo the lion. But actually, Leo the lion is a very famous protected lion, or was protected, over in Zimbabwe. And his name was Cecil. And Cecil has been on the news. And I'm sure I saw Cecil earlier in June. I know I saw this animal on Yahoo News, because when I would go into my mailbox, there's this gorgeous lion. And I read the story, how he's an icon of the jungle over in Africa, in Zimbabwe. But on July 1st, that's Freedom Day in Canada, his freedom was taken away by a dentist from Minnesota. And his last name is that of a very famous golfer that starts with a P and ends with an R, but I won't even give him that much honor or his 15 minutes of fame. But you may as well say his life is over. But if you want to say, that's karma. And that lion, he reminded me of Jesus in the book of Narnia and the movie where the lion was sacrificed, or you can even say the lion of the tribe of Judah. But there's that gorgeous, beautiful lion, just like Christ, as innocent as could be. And now his head and his, I guess, is going to be evidence in court. And these lying people, and I will call them liars, so sue me. And Tom Brady, I think, is a liar. And this dentist from Minnesota that claims he knew nothing about it. Well, if Betsy Belega saw this lion on Yahoo News, I'm sure that this doctor is ego-driven. Look at me, look at me. And besides that, he shot and killed a bear that he wasn't supposed to kill. And he's been in trouble before for poaching. And his goose is cooked, but he brought it upon himself. And we do bring, a lot of times, we do bring our troubles on ourselves. And to add to more misery, just as I came online today, on the show, I happened to Google Toronto News. Well, my goodness, two Asian carps have been found down in our water at our waterfront on Lake Ontario. And the Asian carp is notorious for destroying natural fish and the habitats. So, signs of the time, I'm sorry to say, but every time you pick up a newspaper, turn the radio on, or look online, or Google anything, there's no good news. It's only sadness. But Christ said, look up. I'll be back. And so today, I'm going to tell you some prophecies of Saint Hildegard, who was a mystic. But before I do that, I want to let you know that tomorrow morning, our show is going to be live at 9:30 tomorrow morning, Eastern Time. and my very special guest is going to be Dr. James Hubbard. And Dr. James Hubbard is called the Survival Doctor. Now, what he does, and he's from the wonderful state of Montana, and what he does is he's written two books, The Survival Doctor's Guide to Wounds and The Survival Doctor's Guide to Burns. And he's going to talk with us tomorrow and tell us what we can do if we happen to be caught in severe weather. So, whether, and I'm going to ask him about the winter, not just the summer. We're going to focus on the summer because we're in this terrible heat wave this week or the next 2 weeks. And what we can do if we get power outages, which parts of Toronto went black yesterday and the power went out because people are using their air conditioners. Strangely, my apartment faces south and I get the sun all day long. But the heat is not accumulated in my apartment. And I don't need air conditioning. I don't need a fan. God is good. So God is watching over me and protecting me, and he'll do the same for you. So Dr. Hubbard tomorrow is going to help us out what to do when there's no doctor around and you need one. So I look forward to him being my guest tomorrow. So now, and then later this, in August, August the 7th, my special guest is going to be Bobby Ann Cole, who's a Messianic Jew, and she's written a book called The Love Triangle. And it really is about Jesus. And when she lived in Israel, she's lived in England, New Brunswick, Canada, Israel. And she's written a marvelous book. It's debuting this Sunday. And she's going to be on the show on August the 7th. So you can listen to her and find out what it's like to actually live in Israel. And in the way she describes in her book, you actually feel like you're there. So here we go with some information from the mystic Saint Hildegard, who was very gifted with medicine and cures. She wasn't a doctor, but God gave her, you can say God downloaded, just like you download music on your iPad or iPhone or your iTunes. He downloaded information for her, how people can heal without medicine, but more naturally, more holistic. But she talked about the Antichrist back in the 16th century, and I'm quoting her. When I say the son of perdition, I do mean the Antichrist. The son of perdition is this very wicked beast who will put to death those who refuse to believe in him, who will associate, he will associate with kings, priests, the great, and the rich, who will mistake the humility and will esteem pride, who will finally subjugate the entire universe by his diabolical means. He will gain over many people and tell them, you are allowed to do all that you please. Renounce the fasts. It's enough that you love me. I, who am your God. Well, who does that sound like? He's trying to imitate Jesus Christ. He will show them treasures and riches, and he will permit them to riot in all sorts of festivities as they please. Which reminds me, I don't know if you've seen on the internet, but apparently, I don't know what's in the water in Detroit or if the carp, Asian carp fish have destroyed their water over there, but there's a statue of Lucifer going up in Detroit. Oh my God. I'm glad I live on the other side of the river because there's no way I'd want to live around there. I'm glad I don't live anywhere near Windsor either. But why would you put up a statue of Satan in your town? Like, have these people fried their brains? The heat wave must have really melted them, melted their senses away. And I continue. He will tell them that he'll permit them to riot in all sorts of festivities as they like. he will oblige them to practice circumcision and other Judaic observances, and he'll tell them, those who believe in me will receive pardon of their sins and will live with me eternally. But I know that my listeners know that that's a damn lie. He will reject baptism and evangelism, and he will reject, in derision, all the precepts the Holy Spirit has given to men in the past. Then he will say, strike me with a sword, and where do I get to the next page of my notes? And place my corpse in a proper shroud until the day of my resurrection. So there he's predicting he will rise. He doesn't say 3 days, but he's saying I'll resurrect. People will believe him to have really given over to death. And from his mortal wound, he will make a striking semblance of resuscitation. After which, he will compose himself a certain mark, which he will say is to be a pledge of salute. He will give it to all of his servants like a sign of our faith in heaven, and he will command them to adore it. Concerning those who, for the love of my name, will refuse to render the sacrilegious adoration to the Antichrist, he will put them to death amid the cruelest torments. So, basically, that's what true believers in Christ have to look forward to. But I'm not afraid, because I'd rather die and go to heaven rather than follow the Antichrist and liars. But I will defend my two witnesses. This is Christ. I will defend my two witnesses, Enoch and Elias, whom I have reserved for those times. Their mission will be to combat the man of evil and reprimand him in the sight of the faithful whom he has seduced. So listen, don't be seduced. You're smarter than that. They will have the virtue of operating the most brilliant miracles in all the places, meaning Enoch and Elias, where the son of perdition has spread his evil doctrines. In the meanwhile, I will permit this evildoer to put them to death, but I will give them in heaven the recompense of their troubles and trials. So know that no matter if you happen to be here, and you very well may be, and you have a lot to suffer, you may suffer on the earth, but your reward in heaven is great. Later, however, after the coming of Enoch and Elias, the Antichrist will be destroyed, and the church will sing forth with unprecedented glory, and the victims of the great error will throng to return to the fold. The man of sin will be born of an ungodly woman who from her infancy will have been initiated into occult sciences and the wiles of the demon. She will live in the desert with perverse men and abandon herself to crime with so much the greater love as she will think she is authorized thereby to be the revelation of an angel. By a revelation of an angel. And thus in the fire of burning love, which isn't really love, but just lust, she will conceive the son of perdition, the Antichrist, without knowing by what father. The actual father is Satan. Then she will teach that fornication is permitted, declaring herself holy and honored as a saint. But Lucifer, the old and cunning serpent, will find the fruit of her womb with his infernal spirit and entirely possess the fruit of sin. Now, when he shall have attained the age of manhood, he'll set himself up as a new master and teach perverse doctrines. Soon he will revolt against the saints, and he will acquire such great power that in the madness of his pride, he would raise himself above the clouds. And as in the beginning, Satan said, I will be like unto the Most High, and fell. So in those days, he will fall when he will say in the person of his son, the Antichrist, I am the Savior of the world. He will ally himself with the kings, the princes, and the powerful ones of the earth. He will condemn humility and will extol all the doctrines of pride, which we were just talking about earlier. His magical arts will feign the most astonishing prodigies. He will disturb the atmosphere, the weather. He will command thunder and tempests, storms. He will produce hail and horrible lightning. He will move mountains. He will dry up the streams. He will reanimate the withered trees of the forests. His dark arts will be practiced upon the earth's elements. Chiefly upon man, he will exhaust his infernal power. He'll seem to take away health, and then he'll restore it, so it will seem like a miracle. How so will he do this? By sending some possessed soul into a dead body to move it for a time. But these resurrections will be of short time and duration. At the sight of these things, many will be terrified, and they will begin to believe in the Antichrist. And some, preserving their primitive faith, will nevertheless court the favor of the man of sin, or be afraid of his displeasure. And so many will be led astray among those who, shutting the interior eye of their soul, will live habitually in exterior things. After the Antichrist has ascended a high mountain and been destroyed by Jesus, many erring souls will return to truth, and men will make rapid progress in the ways of holiness. Nothing good will enter into him, nor be able to be in him, for he will be nourished in diverse and secret places, lest he should be known by men. And he will be imbued with all diabolical arts, and he'll be hidden until he is of full age, nor will he show the perversities which will be in him, until he knows himself to be full and superabundant in all iniquities and sin. He will appear to agitate the air, to make fire descend from heaven, to produce rainbows, lightning, thunder, and hail. He'll tumble mountains, dry up the streams, he'll strip the trees, the forests, and then he'll restore them to perform miracles. He will also appear to be able to make men sick or well at his will. He will be able to chase out demons, and at times even to bring back the dead, making a dead body move like it was alive. But this kind of resurrection will never endure beyond a little time, for the glory of God will not permit it. He will be murdered, spill his blood, and die. From the beginning of his course, many battles and many things contrary to the lawful dispensation will arise, and charity will be extinguished in men. That's written about in the Bible. In them also will arise bitterness and harshness, and there will be so many heresies that heretics will preach their errors openly and be so sure that they are right. And there shall be so much doubt in the Catholic faith of Christians that men shall be in doubt of what God they invoke. And many signs shall appear in the sun and the moon, and in the stars, and in the waters, and in other elements and creatures, so that, as it were in a picture, future events shall be foretold in their portents. So I know that you're all aware of the blood moons, so keep watching the sky, but know that the blood moon, that's from God, not the devil. Then so much sadness shall occupy men at that time, that they shall be led to die as if for nothing. But those who keep the faith will await in great sorrow and contrition what God wills to ordain. And these great tribulations shall proceed in this way, while the son of perdition shall open his mouth in the words of falsehoods and lies. Heaven and earth shall tremble together. But after the fall of the Antichrist, the glory of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, shall be increased. As soon as he is born, this is talking about the Antichrist, he will have teeth and pronounce blasphemies. In short, he will be a born devil. He will emit fearful cries, he'll work miracles, and wallow in luxury and vice. He will have brothers who are also demons incarnate, and at the age of 12, they will distinguish themselves in brilliant achievements. They will command an armed force which will be supported by the infernal legions. After the Antichrist has accomplished all of his evil designs, he will call together all of his believers and tell them that he wishes to ascend into heaven. Once more, he's imitating the ascension of the Christ. At the moment of his ascension, a thunderbolt will strike him to the ground and he will die. The mountain where he was established for the operation of his ascension, in an instant, will be covered with a thick cloud which emits an unbearable odor of truly infernal corruption. At the sight of his body, the eyes of a great number of people will open, and they will be made to see their terrible mistake. After the sorrowful defeat of the Antichrist, the spouse of my son, who is the church, will shine with the glory without equal, and the victims of the error who followed the Antichrist will be impressed to re-enter the sheepfold and turn to God. As to the day after the fall of Antichrist, when the world will end, man must not seek to know that, for he can never, ever learn it. That is only known by the Father in heaven. After Enoch and Elias suffer physical death, the spirit of life will reawaken them, raise them up into the clouds, and the rejoicing of that man's followers, the Antichrist, will change into fear, sorrow, and dismay. Then the Antichrist will gather together a large group of people in order that his glory can be openly shown forth. He will attempt to walk through the heavens so that any remnant of the Catholic faith that might remain throughout the world might completely disappear. In the sight of crowds standing around and listening, he will order the high strata of the sky to lift him up during his ascension into heaven, and the words of my loyal servant Paul will be fulfilled. And these are the words which Paul, who is full of the Holy Spirit of truth, says. And the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth, and will destroy him with his glorious appearance at his coming, when the son of corruption ascends on high through diabolical trickery. He will be thrust down again by divine power. The fumes of sulfur and tar will consume him such that the crowd standing nearby will flee into the mountains for protection. Such abject fear will seize all who see and hear these things, that they will reject the devil and his spiritual son Antichrist and be converted by the true faith by baptism. So that is just a little bit of what Saint Hildegard saw in her lifetime. Now I'll tell you a few other prophecies from other and saints. We have Saint Pius X, and he lived in the 1880s. And he said, "I saw one of my successors taking to flight over the bodies of his brothers. He will take refuge in disguise somewhere, and after a short retirement, he will die a cruel death." So he's talking about a pope that will succeed him. Now, how many popes have retired? There is only been one, and that would be Pope Benedict the 16th. Do you think that the popes that have been recent popes, say Pope Pius the 12th, John the 23rd, and then Pope Paul the 6th, John Paul the 1st, John Paul the 2nd, and Benedict the 16th, and our Pope Francis, the current Pope, do you think that they know about these prophecies? Absolutely they do. Mother Shipton, who also lived in the 16th century, said this: the great chastisement will come when carriages go without horses and many accidents fill the world with woe. It will come when thoughts are flying around the world in the twinkling of an eye. Now, what's faster than the internet? When you log on, like I do, usually I do go to Google to check something out or I have a question. And how fast does that take? It takes my internet connection. By the time I turn it on, it takes it 3 minutes. 3 minutes to warm up, and boom, in 3 minutes. Then when I type into Google, what's that, about 2 seconds or a second and a half? So, but the nice thing is, when we're raptured up, we'll go up in the twinkling of an eye, which is a very, very faster than, much faster than Google, much faster than the internet. So to continue what Mother Shipton said, it will come when thoughts are flying around the earth in the twinkling of an eye, when long tunnels are made for horseless machines, sounds like train tracks, when men can fly in the and ride under the sea, when ships are wholly made of metal, when fire and water, great marvels, dew the steam engine, when even the poor can read books, when many taxes are levied for war. So now, of course, kids can get books free online. We can read for free at the library and get movies at the library. And let's face it, what's the U.S. government, their budget for war? Billions. It's scary, isn't it? Billions and billions. When people, like I said yesterday, 48 million people in the United States are on food stamps. And I read a statistic last night that said something like 186 million people in the United States work to pay for benefits for the other how many millions. And that's okay, because we are our brother's keeper, and there for the grace of God go I. So prosperity will return someday to this wonderful earth. And then Saint Anthony of the Desert, who lived in the 4th century, said this: men will surrender to the spirit of the age. They will say that if they had lived in our day, things would be simple and easy. But in their day, they will say things are very complex. The church must be brought up to date and made meaningful to the day's problems. When the church and the world are one, then those days are at hand, because our divine master placed a barrier between his things and the things of the world. And I have one friend in particular that for years he's been telling me, oh, it's secular. The church has to change. The church has to do this. The church has to do that. And just about 6 months ago, our TC here, that's our public transit, they took down a route in front of a church where a lot of people, older people, depend on that particular bus stop. Well, Andy Byford, who's the head of the TTC in Toronto, came out in the Toronto Star and said, hey, we live in a secular world. People don't go to church anymore. They don't go like they used to. And the church people are dying off anyhow, so I'm not returning that bus route. Wow, I'd hate to see his karma. I'd hate to see his karma when you're taking some people's only transportation to get to church away from them. Very, very sad. Very sad. And then we have St. Louis, de Montfort, and he lived in the 18th century. And he said, the power of Mary, the Virgin Mary, over all evils will be particularly outstanding in the last period of time. She will extend the kingdom of Christ over the idolaters and Muslims, and there will come a glorious era when Mary is the ruler and queen of hearts. So, Catholics don't worship the Virgin Mary, but we honor her as the mother of Christ. And if it wasn't for her mercy and compassion, and when you think of Jesus performed his first miracle for his mother at the wedding at Cana, she has a lot of power and influence. And we talk about people on the internet who are big influencers. Well, I'd say the mother of Jesus is a big, one of the biggest influencers in heaven. So don't be afraid to talk to Mother Mary. And then, Anna Catherine Emmerich had this strangest things that I saw were long processions of bishops. Their thoughts and utterances were made known to me through images issuing from their mouths. Their faults towards religion were shown by external deformities. I saw what I believed to be nearly all the bishops of the world, but only a small number were perfectly sound. I also saw the Holy Father, God-fearing and prayerful. Nothing left to be desired in his appearance, but he was weakened by old age and by much suffering. Then I saw that everything pertaining to Protestantism was gradually gaining the upper hand, and the Catholic religion fell into complete decadence. Does that sound familiar? Most priests were lured by the glittering but false knowledge of young school teachers. They all contributed to the work of destruction. In those days, faith will fall very low, and it will be preserved in some places only, in a few cottages and in a few families which God has protected from disasters. And there goes my phone, and it never fails that Betsy Blake is on the radio, and somebody wants to come to see her, but they must wait because they're not supposed to be here for another half an hour. But that's called disrespect. But I bless them and I give them love and compassion, just as Jesus Christ would give love and compassion and mercy. So now we're going to talk about angels. People ask me all the time about angels. Why study angels? What about angels in the Bible? Well, here's a few sightings of angels in the Bible. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. And what do angels do can be found in Hebrews, the first book, verse 14. Are not all angels spirits in the divine service sent to serve those for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So isn't that a wonderful thought? That means you and I are meant to inherit salvation. And the angels were sent to serve us. Angels also protect us. And that can be found in Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. And angels guide us can be found in the first book of the Bible, and that's Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 to 17. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or else you will be consumed in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand. The Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and left him outside the city. When they had brought them outside, they said, flee for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the hills or else you will be consumed. And as I say that, I just want to remind everybody, if you get a dream, a vision, a message from God, and yes, God can talk to you anytime he wants to, that you should move out of your city. Do listen and do obey him. Because many people are being moved by the Spirit, and I mean the Holy Spirit, to move out of the city at this time. And angels encourage us. In Judges chapter 6, verse 12, says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. Angels deliver us. Acts 12, 7. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly, and the chains fell off his wrists. Angels enlighten us. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 to 20, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. And then we have more mentions of angels in the Bible. What are angels anyhow? Here's the creation of angels mentioned in the book of Job, and that would be chapter 38, verses 4 to 7. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? And the substance of angels is found in Psalm 104, verse 4. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. And this talks about the simultaneous creation of angels in Matthew chapter 22, verse 30. For in the resurrection they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Yes, many people ask me, which boyfriend, which husband are they going to be with in heaven? And I said, oh, no. Don't you remember Jesus said, it's all in the Bible, that you're not going to have a physical body, you're going to have the spirit body, you're going to be made like the angels, and angels don't have sex, and angels don't marry. And the characteristics of angels. Angels are innumerable. Hebrews, book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering. Angels are invisible, but sometimes you'll see them. Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. And I do believe that God will allow angels to come to us in a physical form. I had mine appear to me way back in the 70s, and he told me at nighttime he was going to appear as a short little black man, but I was to know he was my angel. And at that time, I worked at Jackson Memorial Hospital in the emergency room. And there's many, many angels in the ER. And at lunchtime, I met a black man. I went to a different part. I went for a little walk. And I sat down on this bench. And my angel appeared to me. And I will never, ever, ever forget that. So then we have the book of Numbers. Chapter 22, verse 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down, falling on his face. But we don't worship angels. Then we have the second book of Kings, chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. He replied, "Do not be afraid, for there are more with us than there are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Angels are invincible. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you angels, you mighty ones, who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Angels are immortal. The book of Luke, chapter 20, verse 36. Indeed, they cannot die any more, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And that's describing us and what it's going to be like for us. We won't die. You can die once, that's it, because we are made like the angels. And won't that be a great day in heaven? And angels that I know you've heard about. Hosts in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 19. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against the rider on the horse and against his army. And that's describing Armageddon. Jesus Christ is the rider on the white horse. The seraphim, found in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 8. And the four living creatures, each of them had six wings, are full of eyes all around and inside. Day and night without ceasing they sing, "Holy, holy, holy the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And he's coming back very, very soon. So I hope all my listeners are ready to get raptured up. And then we have cherubim. And I agree with Reverend John Hagee. Cherubim are not these cute little baby angels with chubby cheeks. Because in Ezekiel, the first book of Ezekiel, the first chapter rather, verse 4 to 14, Ezekiel said, "As I looked, a stormy wind came out of the north, a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually. And in the middle of the fire, something like gleaming amber. In the middle of it was something like four living creatures. This was their appearance. They were of human form. Each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands. And the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. Each of them moved straight ahead, without turning as they moved. As for the appearance of their faces, the four had the face of a human being, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another. While two covered their bodies, each moved straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they went, without turning as they went. In the middle of the living creatures, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire, like torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and lightning issued from the fire. The living creatures darted to and fro like a flash of lightning." And I think I have 1 minute left, but know that angels empower us. Luke chapter 22, verse 43. "Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. So, if any of my listeners need strength, call on your angel, call on the name of Jesus Christ, the most powerful name, because there's power in the blood and power in the name. I want to thank you all for listening to Tuning In with Betsy. May you have a blessed Wednesday. We'll be back here tomorrow morning, bright and early at 9:30 with our coffee with Dr. James Hubbard. Thank you so much. God bless you.